Well, how about we take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 5. Last week, many of you shared from something that really blessed you, from the Pennsylvania family camp, for those who went. And great sharings about things that, great truths from God's Word. And I actually would like to share something, too, that was very reproving unto me. Not something that I didn't know, but just very reproving. The Word of God is reproving to us. It's a correction to us. It teaches us doctrine. And and that is on the subject of redeeming the time. It's a charge that God gives us specifically as His people, that we are to redeem the time. And in verse 15, they got a running start. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." And the word circumspectly could also be translated as accurately or with accuracy. "Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And the word redeeming there, the word redeem basically means to purchase out or to buy up. It's to get it. You know, you buy it up. You purchase it. And the question here is, what are we to buy up? And the answer is pretty obvious right there. It says redeeming the time. Or to buy up that time. And what time is it? It's the time that we have while we're alive, right? We're to buy up the time that we are alive. And the reason is as it says right after that, because the days are evil. It does give a sense of urgency when it says to buy up that time because the days are evil. And some examples of buying up time are, I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you had a couple low tires in your car, air pressure wise, and you are, you know, traveling and you needed to fill them up, and you go in the gas station, they got those little machines, if they work, that you put the quarters in, and you got a certain amount of time, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever, you go to put your quarters in, and then right after that you decide, I want to go get a soda in the store, or maybe I'll go to the bathroom first. Nope. You run around that quarter trying to fill it up before the time runs out, right? Because you only have so much time you bought. Or if you've ever gone to the, you can wash it, self-wash, you know, where you put your zillion dollars in, and you got your 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and you rush around the car and you're trying to clean it before your time runs up. There's a sense of urgency there. If you're like me and you're a little cheap, you don't want to put all these quarters in, you gotta go as fast as you can. But you're buying up time, is what you're doing. You're buying time. We see it in sports, like the last minute or so in a basketball game, and if it's really close in score, every second counts. Or in football, every second counts. Every play all of a sudden is like a big deal when there's a very little amount of time left. So God has us want to buy up time because the days are evil. And you think of yourself, you know, you ask yourself, well, why are we on earth? Well, one reason, there's several in the Word, you know, one is we're to love God, we're to serve Him, we're to worship Him, we're to praise Him, we're to walk for Him and with Him, we're to speak for Him, we're to reconcile men back to God for Him. And if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think the thing that really reproved me in my heart was the reconciling men back to God. There is an urgency that God does place in His Word of reconciling men back to God. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 18, we see that we've been given the responsibility of reconciling people back to God. Verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation," to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So one of the things that we're to redeem our time in, to buy up time, is in speaking the word of God to people, to be able to reconcile people back to God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. God has given us that wonderful privilege and responsibility. Galatians chapter 1. And we have it because we're sons of God. We're his children. And we got that way because verse 4 here, Galatians chapter 1, referring to Jesus Christ, it says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. The word world there is a Greek word, I don't know how to pronounce it really, Ion, it's A-I-O-N, Ion, and it basically means, it's literally age. It's referring to, not referring to the roundness of our earth, it's referring to the time that we live in. Now, the time we live in, according to the scriptures, is where the devil is in charge of this time period. And as we know, it happened when Adam and Eve disobeyed. Adam disobeyed. He lost his connection with God. He transferred his rights to the devil. And from that point until the return of Christ, the devil is running the earth. He's running the world. And that's the period of time that we're in. And it says we've been delivered from that period of time. We're now sons of God with all the wonderful, great rights and privileges we have. And one of those privileges and responsibilities is to speak to people to bring them back to God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The devil right now runs the world, as we know. And in verse 4, verse of scripture that shows the devil being the god of this world. Verse 4 says, in whom the god of this world, and that world is the same Greek word, ion, which means age, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil doesn't want people hearing the word of God. I wouldn't want people to hear the word of God if I was the devil. I think he's got a good plan. That's the devil. If he can keep people from hearing the word and believing, he is doing great. So, but God does want us to speak his word to people. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. There was the last two teachings were on the subject at the camp, on the subject of our relationship to the world. And part of it went over our sanctification. We're sanctified. We're set apart from the world. And it went over in Ephesians about light. And, you know, if our lives are, we're supposed to walk as light. And if our lives aren't reproving, if we're just like blending in like camouflage, we're not walking the light too well. You know, we don't want to blend in. We want our lives to be a reproof to unbelief. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, a very familiar verse of scripture to all of us. And be not conformed to this world. Again, that same Greek word, ion, age, this present age where the devil runs the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not to be fashioned to this world. We're not to blend in to a point that nobody even notices we walk in light. I mean, we are to blend in culturally. I mean, so that we aren't a sore thumb and people don't even want to go near us. Like if, you know, their clothing, we want to blend into a certain point. You know, we just don't want to act like the world, and live like the world. So, interesting. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. No, I'm sorry. Stay in Romans. We'll go to chapter 10 before we do that. So in light of all this, God wants us to speak His word, and here's really what we teach as a starting point. Chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is the way people get saved. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Well, they're good questions. Let's go now to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. We are sent ones. Jesus Christ sent the apostles into the world, and we are sent ones also by God Almighty. Chapter 17, verse 18, in the prayer of Jesus Christ, right in the before His death, and excuse me, verse 18 says, "As Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." These apostles were sent to go speak the word. And in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, Matthew, Mark, chapter 16, we see that those men, after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ, went and spoke the word. Chapter 16, verse 15. I'm in the wrong book. Verse 16, it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." All right. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, that they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." They did what Jesus Christ had commanded them to do. They went out and spoke. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. The book of Acts is full of examples of people speaking God's word, speaking to people to reach them with the word of God, with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, with the resurrection. And Acts 26, verse 18, this is something that was information given to Paul when he was witnessed to by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 18, it says, to open their eyes, and this was what he was to do, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by believing that is in us. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He carefully and faithfully carried out that vision, that revelation that was given to him, that charge. And sometimes it was quite difficult to do. Some of the things that he did, he endured some incredible hardships, as we know from reading the book of Acts. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. No one knows when the period of time of this age is going to end. It could end 3 billion years from now, or it could end in 5 minutes from now. Nobody knows. Jesus Christ doesn't even know. God knows. But in the meantime, while this present age is going on, God's desire is that people get saved, get to a knowledge of God's word. He wants all people to believe and to get saved. And in chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That really does show us God's will concerning people. He's waiting. I don't know when that final time is where he finally says, "Okay, we got it all. We're full." But he's wanting every person that's born on this earth to get born again. That's pretty cool. And I don't know how come he did it, but he said, "I'm going to have my kids do all the speaking for me." So there is an urgency. There is a redeeming of time that God wants us to do when it comes to speaking his word. Let's go to Acts. We're going to look at just a couple of them here. Acts chapter 8. There is an urgency. And I tell you, the first century church believers had an understanding of this and really moved on it. Acts chapter 8, the beginning of Acts chapter 8, we have Saul, who eventually became Paul, still crucifying, hurting the church. And in verse 4, these believers spread out. It says, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." They were in the midst of a big persecution, and what they chose to do was to preach the word. They could have licked their wounds. They could have complained. They could have complained that they had to leave their house, and now, you know, moving around, and they're now in other places, in a bad Motel 6. I don't know. But they could have complained, but really what they chose to do is they chose to preach the word. They must have sensed an urgency of time. Let's go to Acts 13. This is an incredible one. Acts 13, verse 48. It says, "When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained," the word ordained could also be translated as appointed, "as many as were ordained or appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." We don't know who is going to believe that lives in our town or this county or New Jersey. But when we start speaking the word of God, we find out. Right? I mean, you can very easily find out by speaking the word to somebody if they're born again or not born again, or they're interested in being born again. And every person in that city that God knew would get born again got born again. Wow. That's pretty cool. That means they hit every person that was going to get born again with the word. Something. Let's go to Acts 18. I told you it was a pretty proving to my heart. I'm sure there are a lot of people that live in this area that I even bump into that could get born again. Do they after I'm around them? Acts chapter 18, verse 10. This is, we'll do verse 9. This is Paul when he was in Corinth. It says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. He, you know, God, the Lord showed him, hey, there's a lot of people here that are going to believe. And so Paul spent his time there speaking the word, teaching the word. He must have recognized the urgency of time. Now, when we read the book of Acts, we see all these records of people believing or speaking the word. Can those guys still do that today?
No.
Can the Apostle Paul, as wonderful as he was, speak the word of God to the person that lives next to us?
No.
Why? Because he's dead. All the people that we read about in the Bible other than Jesus Christ is dead. Their time has expired. Their time on earth, whatever it is or was, expired. You know, we can live to 100, which is pretty long. It's still a smidgen of time compared to eternity. And even if you live to 100 years old, Mary's heading that direction.
We all are.
It is still a short time. It's still a short time. They can't speak the word anymore. Their time, their opportunity has expired. And did they take that opportunity or not? God knows. God keeps the score, I guess. But it's sort of like, I liken it in my own mind, it's just how I think, of baseball. Rube likes baseball. Some of you like baseball. The guy goes up to the batter's box. There's a guy named Babe Ruth. He's one of the best hitters ever. We've all heard of Babe Ruth. He went into that batter's box, dug his teeth or his feet into the ground, and he swung. And a lot of times he hit the ball. A lot of times he missed. But he was swinging. But as good as he was, he hasn't got a hit for the New York Yankees in years. Not one. He's got a slump going. But the reason is his time has expired. He can't get in that batter's box anymore. It's not available. The New York Yankees can't rely on Babe Ruth going up and hitting a home run. It's done. His time has expired. Now, we're in the batter's box right now. We are alive. We know what the Word of God says. We know how to speak it. We know how to teach it. Are we just looking at those balls passing by and missing every opportunity that comes passing by us, or are we swinging? You know, that was the thought that came to my mind. The ball's coming to me. There's a person right in front of me that may not be born again and could hear. Did I take that opportunity and swing? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But there is an urgency. I'm in the batter's box. You're in the batter's box. Are the balls just going by, or are you swinging? Are you hitting home runs? Even if you're swinging, at least you're trying. Even if you strike out. I tried the best I could. I just couldn't reach that guy. But if you're not swinging, that guy's got to hear it someplace else. Interestingly enough, almost next month, it'll be 40 years the time I heard the word for the first time. Somebody spoke the word to me. They had just taken the Power for Bible Living class. And I saw him putting his books. He had taken, I had his books from the class, started putting them on his shelf. And I was interested in learning about the Bible, but he didn't know that. So I mentioned about, I saw the Bible tells me so. And he said, oh. I started asking him about it. He started telling me some of the things he learned from Power for Bible Living. And so he said, you know, I'm going to run a fellowship and, you know, I'm going to run this class if you'd be interested. I said, sure, I'd love to. Right away. So I take the class, and it was first year in college. I finally came home from college. I witnessed to everybody that I knew, all my family, all my old friends, anybody I bumped into. I spoke the word to them. And I saw a girl that I had dated for a year and a half when I was in high school, before Susan. And I bumped into her and I started telling her about Powerful Well Living, things the Word of God. And she goes, my brother took that class. I said, really? I said, when did he take it? Oh, a couple years ago. Now, I had been with her brother because he was in college and he'd come home for Christmas and Easter. And we spent time together. He didn't say a word to me. And when she said that, I felt like I got sucker punched. It was like, you mean he heard this and didn't say anything? And it was like, ugh. So I called him up. She gave me his phone number. I called him up and said, hey, I heard you took the Powerful Well Living class. And he goes, yeah, I really liked it. I should take that class again. I said, well, we're running one. So it got me thinking, why would he have been so quiet? Because I was ready. I mean, I was looking. I just didn't know it was in the Bible, you know, truth. So I got to thinking, you know, am I really in that same boat where I don't speak at every opportunity? And so, that's what I said. It was very reproving to me. I mean, it's not that I don't speak the word, but I haven't been taking every opportunity I could to speak to somebody. And, you know, maybe they'll never come to fellowship, who knows? But if you got that person born again, that person, according to, you know, we're fulfilling what God's will was in Peter. He doesn't want that person to perish. He doesn't want that person to be born, live life, and die. He wants that person to be born, live life, get born again, walk with him, and if he dies, he dies. But he doesn't want him perishing. And I have the opportunity to at least speak the word to him. Now, maybe he's heard it 20,000 times before, but maybe it's that one time, finally he heard it, and he said, I guess maybe I should change my mind. You know, never know. So, we just believe God to try to reach somebody's heart with the word. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. So I just, for my life, want to take the opportunity to speak the word every time it's available. And here's three of the basic reactions when people hear the word. This is Paul, when he spoke to quite an assembly of people. And in chapter 17, verse 32, it says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, well, we will hear thee again of this matter. We've seen those things. You've been speaking the word, you know, people kind of mock you at times, or they'll say, yeah, you know, maybe we'll talk about this another time. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was the Aphrodite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So how did he decide, I'm not going to swing to bat at these balls? The mockers would have stayed the same. The hearers again would have stayed the same. But these others that believed wouldn't have had the opportunity to believe at that point. Isn't that amazing? So we just speak. Go back a chapter. Chapter 16. Paul had gotten the revelation to go into Macedonia, and they go, assuredly gathering that the Lord called them to go there to help people. They go to an area where they had heard that people prayed, and they were speaking the word. And in verse 14, it says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So God opened up her heart. But Paul had to do some speaking. Remember, we're workers together with God. We plant and water. He gives the increase. So, but if we're not swinging, he's got a hard time working with that. Let's go to, lastly, to Colossians chapter 4. Now, why he did it, I don't know, but he has given us the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation so that people can be brought back to God. Chapter 4, verse 2. And I'm in the wrong book. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Same word. Buy up that time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So maybe we're talking to somebody that we've known for years. While we're talking, can God show us how to reach that person or what to say that might just prick that person's heart and get them to start considering? Or we're around somebody maybe standing in the grocery line. I know nobody likes to talk in the grocery line. Boy, what an audience, really. Everybody's going to listen to you. They're just nosy. They want to know what the other person's saying. But why can't God show us what it is? It could be three words. It doesn't have to be a long conversation. It could be a question to somebody. You say, whatever, I don't know. But God, and that's the fun thing, we are workers together with God. God can tell us the words to say to that individual that'll reach that person's heart. Isn't that wild? I mean, that's, if you want revelation, that's one way of getting it. but we buy up that time, take that opportunity so that we can give an answer to every man, and that we, you know, we season our words with salt. They're the right words to say. You know, they're not trash talk. So we just allow God to help us. We believe God to get us to see what we can do to reach that individual's heart. Oh, pretty cool. I know in baseball, I've never stood in a batter's box and, you know, in the majors. Obviously. But it's like a second or something. From the time of release to the time it's passing you by, they say, you really can't just, you're almost guessing as to whether it's curveball, drop, you know, whatever. You just have to have like a, you're outsmarting the pitcher and you know, you think you know what he's going to throw, and then you swing for that type of bat or a pitch. We have not intuition, but we have God Almighty showing us what we can speak or what to do, whatever it is. So it's pretty interesting. So we take every opportunity we can, buy up every opportunity to speak the word, because that 100 years really is a short time, a really short time. So if somebody gave us an announcement, like if Susan's announcement today was, I just heard from the Lord, which we know this isn't going to happen, that tonight at midnight he's coming back. This afternoon, what do you think you might do? You think you might go home and clean your bathroom or watch a ball game or, what would you do? I think what we all would do is we'd probably talk to everybody we possibly could as fast as we could, because we know at midnight we're out of here, and whoever doesn't believe is hanging out. Or you could sell your house real quick. Not that that money's going to do you any good. But what would you do? If you absolutely knew in 12 hours from now, you're out of here. So, it's interesting. So, alrighty.